This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now today and all of this week, we continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts. But before we get to that, we're going to hear a great song today. It's from our featured album. All week, the music will be from our quartet album, Victory in Jesus. Today, when we all get to heaven, enjoy the music and then Dr. Green.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Lead us, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today. Honor the word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save souls for Christ's sake. Amen. On the last broadcast in the series, I read Acts 4:12. We spent the entire broadcast talking about the name, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now today we begin with verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. In other words, there was before their eyes living evidence of the gigantic, unheard-of miracle that had been performed by these two men, of course, in the name of Jesus. Next verse, 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside, that is, they sent Peter and John out, they sent them away so they couldn't hear what was being said, they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? Now, they really have a problem on their hands, and brother, I'm going to tell you, when you start dealing with God's men and God's people, you have a problem on your hands. Now, you're fighting against God. So let's read on. What shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable, that is a very outstanding, unheard of miracle hath been done by them is manifest in all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Well, at least we give these fellows credit for having at least good sense. In other words, they saw the living evidence. They saw the man. Everybody knew him. Everybody had seen him at the beautiful gate. And everybody in Jerusalem knew that he was there. And they knew that he was a beggar. And they knew that he had been healed. And they knew it was the same man. And in verse 22, it tells us that he'd passed 40. He was above 40 years of age. And so they have a real problem on their hands. But that it spread no further. Now this is verse 17. Among the people, let us straightly sternly, let us sternly, straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Now that's as far as I'm going to read today. Let me read that verse again, but that it spread no further. That it spread no further. Now it is the thing that has happened. That is the testimony that goes out because of this gigantic, notable miracle. Let us threaten these men, sternly threaten them, and let us forbid them to speak anymore in this name. Now, let me say this today, and we're going to read several verses of Scripture. The theme of these apostles never changed. They preached Jesus and the resurrection. They had an unchanging subject. Peter and John, they preached Jesus and the resurrection. Look in verse 33 of this same chapter. Let me read it. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know, I've been studying this old book over 32 years. And I've spent a lot of hours. Beloved, you just think now. I've been on the radio 32 years. And up until 7 years ago, when I had a very grave illness, up until that time, I preached somewhere just about every night of my life. For, in other words, from the time I was converted, I started preaching just a few weeks, and I preached every night. When I was in school, I went to prayer meetings, and I preached in the churches and all over the countryside. And I'm saying that to say this. I've been reading this book for 32 years. I've been studying this book for 32 years. I've been preaching this book over 32 years. And beloved, it's impossible. It is impossible for a man to expose himself to the Word of God for 32 years daily and not see a few things and learn a few things. You just can't help it. I'm not smart. No, I'm not. Bless your heart. I'm not a know-it-all, and I don't know it all. But the thing that I want to say to you today, and I've said all that to say this, about the only time you hear anything about the resurrection today in the average church. Notice, I said average. I didn't say all the churches. I don't want you to think that I think I'm the last fella left. No, no. No, no. God has His 7,000 that have not bowed their knees to modernism. Oh, yes. But did you know, and you know it as well, in fact, you know it better than I do, because you go to church more than I do as a listener. I go to preach. You go to listen. But listen to me now. You know that the average church, not all but average, all the only time you hear anything about the resurrection is at Easter. Easter week, that's all. Easter week, that's all. And we talk about the resurrection. But beloved, the resurrection, the name and the resurrection was the theme. This was the theme, a twofold theme. And these men preached this message everywhere they went. They preached it again and again and again. And we apologize for repeating a message two times in the same place. We need to preach the resurrection. Bless your heart. We need to cry it out day by day. Now, let me show you what I mean by that. And with great power. This is Acts 4:33. I'm getting ahead, but I want you to see this. There's several verses I want to point out. And with great power gave the apostles witness. Why? Because right back here, Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 8. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers and people of Israel. Peter was baptized in the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. He was baptized with all the rest of them. But here he is, filled. And I said, the day I delivered the message in the series on that verse, I said, there is one baptism, there are many fillings. You know, if we could sit down in my office, or if I could sit down in your living room and talk, I think we are much closer together than most of you folks who criticize me, and I've had a few letters. It has been surprisingly few. I'm amazed. I really am. I'm astonished that I haven't received more letters of criticism since I started this series on the book of Acts. But I told the folks the first day, give your postage to the mission channel. If you're going to spend postage to straighten me out, now don't misunderstand me. The Bible is my textbook, and when I see it in the Bible, I'll believe it, I'll preach it, I'll live by it, and I'll die by it. I wouldn't compromise the Word of God for all the money you have. I wouldn't compromise the Word of God for all that you could do or give me. I'm not a compromiser, and I'm not going to compromise my convictions. I've studied this book. I've begged God on bended knees to give me light, and I preach the light that God gives me. Now, here's what I'm saying. I preach pure grace. The just shall live by faith, and I preach that it is no longer in part, but we have received the perfect law of liberty. That which is perfect is come, and that which is in part has been done away. So here's what I want you to see. These men had great power because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were baptized on the day of Pentecost. Now, as Peter delivers this message, he has received a new infilling. Notice what I said. Now, that doesn't mean that we lose the Holy Ghost. Oh, no. That doesn't mean that I have the Holy Ghost today, I lose the Holy Ghost tomorrow. That means that I need a new infilling. I need to pray, oh, God, fill me with Thy Spirit every time I preach, every time I deliver a message on the radio or in a meeting or whatever I do. If I'm speaking or teaching the Word of God, I need to pray for God to fill me with the Holy Ghost, and that gives us hope. Holy boldness, and that gives us understanding, and that gives us the message that God would have given to the people to whom we minister. Now, the great power, the apostles, with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, my friend, listen, without the resurrection, there is no grace. There is no grace. In Hebrews 2:9, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for every man. But now wait just a minute, and I beg you to listen to me very carefully. I pray that you listen to me very carefully. These apostles, Peter, now back here, Peter said, you crucified him. With wicked hands, you nailed him to a cross, but God raised him from the dead. Now, and I want you to listen carefully so you won't misunderstand me. The death of Jesus was an imperative. It was a must. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The death of Jesus was an imperative. But if God had stopped there, and if Jesus had stopped there, a dead Christ could have never saved you or me. A dead Jesus could have never saved you. A dead Jesus could have never saved me. Now let me go back a step further. Jesus was born of a virgin. But if God had stopped there, the virgin birth could have never saved us. Jesus lived a holy life. But if God had stopped there, the holy life of Jesus could not have saved us. The holy life of Jesus would have shown us what wretched, miserable sinners we are. That's what the holiness of Jesus does. The sinlessness, the holiness, the righteousness of Jesus shows us how unrighteous and how unholy and how ungodly we are. So his virgin birth could have never saved us. His righteous life, his holy life, his pure life, his sinless life could have never saved us. His miracles. He had the power to say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and he was beginning to deteriorate. The sisters said, he stinketh. Don't take the stone away. He's been dead 4 days. He stinketh. Now, Jesus said, come forth, and he came forth. But listen, that power, he could have never saved us. If God had stopped there, Jesus could have never saved us. When he was nailed to the cross and lifted between heaven and earth, and he cried out, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. If Jesus had stayed in that tomb, you and I would burn in hell. His death alone could not have saved us, beloved. Now, the capstone of the pyramid of salvation is the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what these men preach. They preach Jesus of Nazareth. Not a Jesus from somewhere else, but this Jesus that you know as the Nazarene. You see, they hated the Nazarenes. And they said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So these disciples said, Jesus of Nazareth, you nailed him to a cross, but God raised him. Now, they said, this Jesus, this name, and there is no other name under heaven given among men. And they said, in this name and through the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, great grace came upon all the people. And we're saved by grace. All right. So I want you to turn, if you will, to Acts 17. And I want us to read verse 18. And we read here about some philosophers and some fellows. By the way, back here in the verse I just read, they said, these are ignorant and unlearned men. These are ignorant and unlearned men. Now, they meant by that, they don't have a degree from our college. They don't have a degree from our seminary. And they were not ordained by the Sanhedrin, that is, the chief priest and the elders. They are not one of us. They're ignorant, they're unlearned. Now, let me say this. I've said it so many times on the radio. I believe in schools. There are a few, and they're very few. I can name them on one hand that I recommend. And I believe in studying. I believe that a man who possibly can, should go to school at least a while and learn how to study. In other words, we go to school to learn how to study. And we train our mind to think. That's one reason we go to school and study geometry and these other things, to train the mind to be capable of thinking and studying. Now, I believe in going to school. But, beloved, there's a time to stop going to school and start doing something. And I'm saying that to say this. Today, it doesn't make much difference. It doesn't make much difference what you do or who you are if you've been to the right school and if you have the right label on you, you can get a big church. And if you'll cooperate with the brethren, you'll get promoted. But if you don't, I'll guarantee you, mister, you won't get far in the big denominations, and you know it as well as I know it. That's not criticism. That's a fact, and you know it's a fact. Now, I don't believe that a preacher should get up and advertise his ignorance. I don't believe that. I think, and of course I realize that I'm limited, I know that. I wish I knew a lot more about the English language. I wish I knew the Greek and Hebrew, but I don't. But there is no glory in just being plain ignorant. But I'd rather hear an ignoramus slay the King's English and butcher every sentence from the standpoint of English and punctuation and adjectives and adverbs and verbs. I'd rather hear a man butcher the King's English and preach the grace of God than to hear a man butcher the grace of God and speak perfect English. Now, that doesn't excuse anyone from studying. We ought to study, and we ought to go to school if we can. Now, there are cases, rare cases, where a man is saved late in life, and he may have a big family, and he just can't go to school. In such cases, if that person will apply themselves and study at home, I believe God makes up for it. And I believe a man can get a good education at home. Dwight L. Moody did, and I could talk about others, but that's beside the point. Now, let me read, before we go to Acts 17, let me read this verse. It's here before me, and I want to read it. In Acts 9 and verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them. Now, this is Saul of Tarsus. You remember, he's converted in Acts 9, and when we get over in Acts 9, we'll study about his conversion. But Barnabas, he introduces Paul now. It was Saul, before he was saved, to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, today, I get a letter occasionally. In fact, the business, I received a letter yesterday, and I read it. And here's what it said. Dear Brother Green, would you mind writing to me? And please tell me which denomination you are. Well, now, that person hasn't been listening to the Gospel Hour very long, because I've made the statement 100 times in the last 10 years that I am a Baptist old-fashioned. Put about 25 lines under that and 75 exclamation points after it, will you? I am an old-fashioned, not a streamline Baptist. I am an old-fashioned Baptist. I believe in old-fashioned Baptist doctrine. I believe in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. You show it to me in the Bible and I'll preach it. But I'll tell you something else I believe. God told Noah to build an ark, but God doesn't want me to build an ark. God told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and offer him a sacrifice, but God doesn't want me to take my boys up on a mountain and offer them, you see, because God has already taken care of all that. The ark is a type, glory to God, for the ark. And the offering of Isaac is a type, glory to God. But God doesn't want me building an ark, and God doesn't want me to offer my son up on the mountain, because Jesus offered one sacrifice once for all forever that fulfills every type, every symbol, every holy day, every holiday, everything from Genesis to Malachi, glory to God. He fulfilled it all. So we must study and we must rightly divide the word. Now, Saul preached in the name of Jesus. He didn't preach in the name of any religion or, you know, he went to school at Gamaliel's feet. He could have preached in the name of Gamaliel. He could have preached in the name of Judaism. He could have preached in the name of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders. No. He preached in the name of Jesus. Now, Acts 17 and verse 18, I was talking about these philosophers, these educated fellows, and they said, "What will this babbler say?" They called Paul a babbler, and that's what they'll call you. You let a man come to the pulpit and show a little zeal and deliver a message with a little zeal and call hell, hell, heaven, heaven, and call damnation, damnation, and sin, sin, and they'll accuse him of being a babbler. They want to hear smooth things, and they want to see something, feel something, and experience something. Listen, many people have missed Jesus seeking experiences. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." I know whom, W-H-O-M, I know whom I have believed. Paul didn't say, "I know what I saw on the road to Damascus." Are you listening? No man that ever put his foot on God's dirt ever had a more glorious conversion than Paul, from the standpoint of outward experiences and sights and feelings. Oh no, no man ever had one exactly like Saul. Saul of Tarsus had a gigantic experience on the road to Damascus. But Paul didn't say, "I know what I saw." Paul didn't say, "I know what I felt." Paul didn't say, "I know what I heard." Paul said, "I know whom I believed." Now hear it well. Listen, what will this babbler say? And here it is in Acts 17, 18. "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods." Now, he seems to be setting forth a strange God because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. You see, Jesus and the resurrection, Jesus and the resurrection. Now, that was the message. That was the unchanging theme of these precious men. Listen to Acts 25, 19. But had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus which was dead, see, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Now they said Jesus is dead, but Paul says that he's alive. And that's the reason they wanted to stone Paul and kill him and get him out of the way. Now, they won't stone you today and they won't shoot you. They won't burn you at the stake. But if you preach the pure, unadulterated, unalterable Word of God and call sin, sin, heaven, heaven, hell, hell, and fire, fire, and damnation, damnation, drinking, drinking, and just name it, brother, just preach it plain, I'll guarantee you, they won't put you in jail and they won't stone you, but I'll guarantee you, mister, they'll look at you like they think you are a babbler, a fool, and a fanatic. Now, mark it down. What I want you to see today is this. These men, Peter and John, they preached Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, but not in a grave, risen and living, and they had great power and great grace came upon the people. Dear Heavenly Father, help me, O God, have mercy on me, O God, and help me to be faithful to thy word. Honor the word, the shed blood, the name of Jesus, and save every soul that's under conviction. For Christ's sake, save the soul that's nearest hell. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. And before we close today, I want to let you know that we are now in the third and final week of our Gift Offer C. Gift Offer C contains a Bible, a book by my dad, and an album of Christmas music. Wonderful, wonderful offer, and we have had a really, really good response to this offer so far, but it has to end, and this week is the last week I will talk about our Gift Offer C. Now, I hope you'll go ahead and order today by calling us or shooting me an email or going to the website. Either way, you can order Gift Offer C. Now, Gift Offer C is available to you if you ask for it by name, Offer C, and send a donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $35 or more. Please send more if you can. Every gift you give is needed to keep the Gospel Hour on the air. But if you can send a donation of at least $35 and ask for Offer C, I'm going to send you the Thin Line Large Print King James Version Bible. Now, this is a new addition to our Bible line for us, but we're very excited about it. This is the King James Version of the Bible. It is thinner than most large print Bibles, and it has gilded edge pages. It's a red letter edition, and it's a leather soft binding, a very beautiful, very soft binding. It has a presentation page, full color maps, and many, many other helps. The Thin Line Large Print King James Version Bible. Then we have a book by my father, Our Savior, 182 pages long. It's the work of our Savior, past, present, and future. There are those three chapters, and Dr. Green goes into detail about Christ and his work. Finally, a traditional American Christmas, 11 songs about Christmas, all instrumental music, a beautiful album I know you'll enjoy. So to get all of this, just ask for Offer C and send your gift of at least $35. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.